All these things that we're going over are principles found in the Word of God for the family. And if we'd follow what the Bible says in every aspect of our life, things would go a whole lot easier in our marriages and in our homes. And I realize it takes everybody in the family doing their part, and sometimes that's not always the case. But the fact is, you still need to know what the Bible says is your responsibility. You need to do the best you can to try to please the Lord in your role. We looked at the family and the family order of the home, and we know Jesus Christ is to be the head of the home. He's supposed to be number one, and then you have the husband, and then you have the, there's Fisher right there. And then you have the wife, then you have the children, and then you have the dog, then the cat, then the goldfish. Everybody has their place. Amen. And so we need to find out what that is. So we've been going over, and I've been given a lot of very detailed things that a husband has responsibility for in the home. And as I'm teaching this, I hope that no one thinks that that I have it figured out, because I'm still learning myself. And you say, well, you're young, and there's a lot of older folks in here been married a lot longer than you have that probably could do a better job of this, and they probably could, but I have the authority of the Word of God to be preaching and teaching what I'm teaching. And I've heard people tell me when it comes to kids, they said, well, wait till your kids are teenagers before you preach that. And the Bible doesn't say that. It still tells us. Now, whether or not I do what I'm supposed to when my kids are teenagers is between me and the Lord, but that doesn't change what the Bible says about how they're to be raised. And I had good examples in my life with my parents. They're both here tonight. I've had examples of other people. And I'm telling you, the Bible way works. God's way works. I've seen it. I'm seeing it in my children and my family as we go. And I know I've got a long way to go, and I understand that. And that's why I need to pray, and I need to continue to understand what God tells me to do in the home. But I've seen it work. And so we're going here first, Peter chapter number 3. And there was three things about we need to know our wives, dwell with them according to knowledge, the Bible tells us. And so if we're to dwell with them according to knowledge, then there's some things that we should be able to know about our wives. And there are things that the Bible tells us. We looked at what a woman is and how she reacts to things. All that's in the Bible. And we looked at that. And so we need to understand that as a husband and when we're dealing with our wives. And so the first thing we looked at is that we need to know her nature. Know her nature. And we looked at all those for several weeks. Well, tonight, for a few minutes, I want to look at we need to know her needs. Know her needs. In 1 Peter chapter number 3, and I'm just going to skip straight down to verse number 6, and that's where we'll use the text for tonight. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. And so we see here that her husband, and again, we're dealing with the husbands, we'll be on the wives soon enough, her husband is to be her Lord. So it's not just her calling her husband Lord. It's the idea of him having that position in the home, of him having that place of authority in the home that God has given him. And if that's the place that he is in, he's not supposed to just demand that she treat him as Lord. He needs to fulfill that role of taking care of her and taking care of the children and taking care of the house. She has a lot of responsibility there, but she needs to know that her needs are met to do what she's supposed to do. And again, when we get over to the wives, I don't believe we have any here tonight, but we've had some that have told me, said, well, my husband's not in church, or he's not doing that, or it doesn't matter. You still do what you're supposed to do. You still submit, you still respect, you still honor, and we're going to get into all that later. Everybody has a job that they're supposed to do, and it might not be the greatest situation in the house if everybody's not doing what they're supposed to. We've seen illustrations of that, but yet God will still work in your life and your home, and you can do what's right in his eyes. And so a husband is to minister to his wife's needs. She has a body, a soul, and a spirit, and there's more than just the mental and physical side of meeting her needs, there's a spiritual side of meeting her needs. Those are things that we as husbands must do. When we look at this verse, it says that Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. The husband is not God, but he's representing God in his family. He's representing the Lord. He's in that position of representing, of taking care of the needs. Just as God does it for us as a child of God and for our church, and he supplies the needs and all those kind of things, we are that the priest of our home, and we're supposed to help meet the needs spiritually, physically, and mentally in our home. This leads me to the spiritual aspect of this, and this is where I'm going to spend a little bit of time tonight, and hopefully not the whole time, but men... There's a lot of men, and I do not know any of the cases in here, and I pray that this is not the case, but it has been in a lot of homes that I've talked to and counseled with. The men do not pray with their wives. They do not pray with their families. And that is a thing that a wife needs to know. A wife needs to know that her husband is praying for her. He needs to know that. She needs to know that he's going to God for her and for the children. Not just saying certain things spiritually, but actually acting on them. Actually going home and praying with them. We see here, look back in your text. Look at verse number 7. This is in the context of Sarah calling Abraham Lord. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your what? That your prayers be not hindered. So, husband, if we're not doing our part in the home, providing for her needs spiritually and physically and mentally and those things, we can actually have our prayers hindered. And that's something that none of us need. We don't want to go through life or through work or anything else with having our prayers hindered. And praying as a family can be challenging. There's a lot of people that are uncomfortable to even pray in church. I try to go to some men sometimes and say, hey, if I called on you to pray with it, are you okay with that? And I've had some tell me, no, you know, I'm not comfortable praying in church. And there's some I've never asked. I just called on them. And it reminds me of one time, the last church we were at, the song leader was a friend of mine, and he came up to me and said, we were laughing and said, you know, what would you do if you called on somebody to pray and they said no? He's like, I don't know. It's never happened before, ever. And we laughed about it, and then he gets up and he leaves singing, and he calls on my dad to pray. Well, my dad was sick, and he shook his head no, like, I can't do it. I mean, he would have done it. He's always done it. But he shook his head no, and he looked right at me, and I said, I promise I did not say anything to him. But there's people that are uncomfortable with it, and, you know, that's you know, my personal opinion, you know, you just need to pray. If you're a man, you know, learn how to pray. But praying with your family sometimes can be challenging for the same reasons, and not comfortable praying out loud. But if you're married to someone, you ought to be able to grab their hand and pray out loud with them. You should be able to do that. And if you can't, you need to get to the place where you can. Sometimes the reason why they can't do that is because they have no prayer life. They have no personal, the man doesn't have any personal prayer life. And so he's uncomfortable with praying with his wife or praying with the children. Physical intimacy in marriage is very important, but it's not the glue that holds it together. It's the spiritual intimacy. It's being able to pray and hold hands and talk to God together. Over there in Luke chapter number 11, the disciples went to Christ and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And if we have a hard time praying in our family, maybe we ought to pray that same prayer. Lord, please teach me how to pray with my family. And you say, well, how do I get started in that? And I know some don't have children in here this morning, but those that do, you can start off by praying over your children before they go to bed. Amen. Build into this thing of praying with your family. She needs that. She needs to know that she's being prayed for. Pray with your family. Pray with them before they go to bed. Try to do devotions. Read, if you've got young kids, read one verse. I mean, you don't have to go over to Revelation and talk about all the seals and the trumpets and all. You don't got to do that when they're little. Amen? Just read one verse. When they get a little older, read the proverb for the day and then pray with them. You say, what do I pray? just pray something simple. If they're real little, pray that God save them at a young age and help them to fall in love with Him. And pray for your wife as she works. Pray that God will protect her. And just, I mean, it don't have to be, you know, some elaborate big old 2-hour prayer. Just pray for them. Pray as you depart in the morning. These are just ideas of trying to pray with your family. Pray right when there's a need. Honey, we just got a bill. I don't know what we're going to do. This is our opportunity to pray together. It's our opportunity to say, hey, let's pray. Let's ask God about it. Lord, I'm telling you right now, we don't have it. You know that. And you know that the condition we're in is not your fault. It's our fault, more than likely. But Lord, would you please give us wisdom for it? Pray together. And then when you guys see those prayers answered, I've gotten calls from even some folks in here that called and said, hey, we had a thing we were praying about, nobody knew about, but we were praying about it together and God answered our prayer. They were so excited about it. And that strengthens the home. It strengthens the husband. So as soon as a need arises, don't wait. Pray for it right then and there. Pray for it. Something with a child or whatever it is before you run to the doctor. And God will use the doctor and He'll use medicine and He'll use things. But before you run off to that, spend time and pray about it. Talking about praying in our home. Pray during a conflict. This is hard to do. When I say conflict, I mean a conflict between husband and wife. It's really hard when one is upset at the other to say, hey, let's pray. But if you do, it changes things. Prayer, it's hard to stay mad at somebody when you're praying for them. I'm going to give you an illustration of that here in a second. Here's just an idea. This is something we're going to start at our house. Talk to Sarah about it, and I think we're going to do this. We're going to get a whiteboard to put on our refrigerator that is a prayer list for our house. And we're going to allow the kids, if they have something, you say, well, man, that's not a big deal. It is to them. And we're going to get a board and put on there, and if they have something on their heart, they're going to write it on the prayer list on the board, and we'll pray with that as a family every night. If Sarah has something, if I have something for our family that we want to write on that board, we're going to put that on the board and pray about it. These are just things about trying to help you to pray in your family. And then once you get comfortable praying, we're talking about people that maybe never pray with their spouse. If you get comfortable doing that, then maybe you can plan an extended prayer time. What is that? I don't know. Maybe that Saturday morning or Saturday evening before you go to bed, spend more time than just, Lord, lay me down to sleep and pray for the church. Pray for the pastor. Pray for each other. Pray over the prayer list. We ought to be doing these things individually, but maybe you can get with your wife and say, let's pray for the prayer request. Let's pray for our missionaries and pray together. And you'd be amazed of how close that'll help y'all become, and it'll help her in spiritual matters. And she'll be comfortable coming to you saying, hey, something's bothering me. Can we pray about it? Because she knows that you'll pray with her. I was talking about praying during a conflict. I heard an illustration given one time. A pastor told about this couple that came to him, and they said, hey, we are getting a divorce. It's over. We're done. He said, what are you coming to me for? He said, because we've never done this, and we want you to help us, give us wisdom on what to do. And, you know, they didn't want to just run to the court. They wanted to go to him, and they were trying to work this thing out as civil as they could. And so they came together to him and asked him if he would come talk to him. So he said, yeah, I'll come talk to you. He was reluctant about it, but he got there and he said, why don't we do counseling? Why? And they said, no, we don't want no counseling. It's over. So he said, all right, I will help you on one condition only. He looked at him. He said, I want you to take her by the hand and I want you to drop to your knees, both of you together, holding hands, and I want you to pray, and I only want you to thank God for something about her. And then when you're done, you got to do the same thing for him. When you're done, I'll help y'all, give you wisdom on trying to figure this thing out. Well, he said that about an hour later, they were still praying, and he just got up and left, and that they were still together today. Because when they began to start praying and thanking God for certain things, they started remembering why God put them together and that some of the things they were upset about. And they, you know, God just started working. And that particular pastor, he said, I encourage all couples to pray together every night before they go to bed. You pray with your children, you pray over your food, you pray before you get, but pray with your wife at least once a day. And I think that's good wisdom. And so that's something that's very important, talking about the spiritual needs of the wife. We talked about before how a man's anger and frustration can be vented. A lot of times he can get mad, he can go knock a hole in something or whatever and get over it. And a woman's frustration cannot be vented as well. Whenever she gets upset about something or something happens in her life, she sees it as a threat to her. She sees it as a threat to her family. She sees it as a threat to her children, and she reacts differently. A man, when something happens, he can hit it head on, and he can do whatever he's got to do, and he moves on down the road, and he says, it'll be okay. Well, to her, it might not just be that easy. And so we have to realize that and understand, and we can't just overlook or completely discount things that the wife thinks is a threat. You understand what I mean when I say that? Sometimes the kids will come to us and they'll be all upset about something. You say, well, that's not really a big deal. But even with a wife, sometimes, and my wife's not in here, but I would say if she wasn't here, sometimes she comes to me like very concerned about something. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, that is not a big deal. Amen. Sometimes I'm in another state or another country and I get a call about something and there's nothing I can do about it. Amen. But it's a big deal to her because, you know, and sometimes, and I'm at fault for this and I've had to apologize to her sometimes, that my reaction is, it's not a big deal. When all she wanted was for me to say, I hear you and I'm going to work on it. That's what she wanted to hear from me. Even though there's nothing I can do about it right then and there. I might be in another state. I might be somewhere else, hours away. But she wants to hear, I hear you, and I hear what you want, and I want to do the best I can to get it fixed. But sometimes a reaction is, what do you want me to do about it? I'm in another state. Amen? Man, is that right? I see some of the ladies helping me. We can't just overlook those things. Sometimes it's a big deal to her. And one of the reasons is, especially in the house, that's her. That's what God's given her as a responsibility. And so we have to be able to equip her and help her with those things. And God has put us in that position, and we need to be able to help build confidence in her that God can take care of it, that we're there to supply the need. She doesn't need to worry about how is it going to get taken care of. She doesn't need to fret about how things are going to get fixed or how things are going to get taken care of. That responsibility should not fall on her. And so a lot of men, I'm very reluctant to call them men, put everything on their wives, everything. And they just go about their business. And it shouldn't be that way. And they wonder why she's stressed out and she's miserable all the time. If a man is to rule over his wife, he needs to be a leader. And he needs the power of God to do it right. Not the power of man, he needs the power of God to do it right. And that takes getting in the Bible, and it takes getting to know God, and it takes to understanding what God tells us to do and how he wants us to do it. And it takes, honestly, a Christian man, every Christian man needs to do this, but if you've got a wife and kids, you need to be full of the Holy Spirit of God. Make sure you're saved and get in the Bible and ask God for wisdom. You want wisdom on ruling your home? Read the book of Proverbs every day. It's a book full of nothing but wisdom, common sense. And those are things that we need to have. A husband who is not who God wants him to be, most of the time is over-aggressive and misaligns and abuses his authority. Happens a lot of times when they're not right with God. Or he just puts all of it on his wife and he doesn't take any responsibility at all. We have illustrations in the Bible of different great men that they led by serving. Jesus Christ himself, he served. But did that make him any less to us? No. No, we're still an authority to him, but he served. Paul served, Peter served, these other men in the Bible that we read about. A man right with God is going to put his family's needs before his. What his family needs is going to put him before hers. You know what a wife is looking for? A wife is looking for her husband's approval. She might not come out and say that, but that's what she wants. She wants her husband's approval. And I'm gonna say this quickly and run by it, but most of the time, a woman's body will satisfy a man, but a man's will never satisfy a woman. Amen? You know what she wants? She wants him. She wants his attention. She wants him to listen. And these are things I have to learn. She just wants to know that he's there for her. And when she has a problem, she wants him to listen. Man can be the other way around. I mean, it can, you know, quickly he can be satisfied. But a woman's different. A woman's different. And so her needs are different than his. And she tries to take care of his needs. But a lot of times he doesn't care to try to take care of hers, which most of the time is just his attention, which is spending time together, which is listening. Amen. I don't even want to say this word, but cuddling. It's not a manly word. Sometimes that's all she needs. That's all she wants. Amen. And there's a lot of men that, you know, they fail to see those little things that's just a small amount of time given or just listening. Especially with my wife, she's home with the children all day and needs me sometimes just to sit there. And I'm going to get on the wives later. So, you know, as soon as he walks in from work, don't unload on him immediately when he walks through the door. We're going to go over that later. I'll say it again later. But eventually there needs to be time for him to sit down, put his phone away, and just say, how was your day? And be ready. Here it comes. And don't say anything. Don't say it'll be okay. Don't, you know, just, you can say it's okay, but don't say it in such a way that you're like, I really don't care about your day. But listen and say, wow, really, that happened. Okay. In the back of your mind, you're like, who cares? Amen. But you do care because you're listening. You're trying to, y'all understand what I'm trying to say? I'm about to get myself in trouble. Thankful she's in the nursery. I'm just saying men have a different aspect on things. I mean, Elijah spilled Cheerios all over the floor. It was under here and under there and under here and stuck in there. And okay, you know, but that was a big deal that day. All right. I don't know if y'all are getting it or not. I'm preaching to myself, I guess. Meeting your wife's needs, it takes time. It takes patience. It takes appreciation for what she does. It takes those things. The man in Song of Solomon, the Bible said that he adored his wife. He adored his wife. And those are things we need to work on. All right, last point for the men. And then we're on to the ladies next week or next time we get on this. All right. The last one. A husband needs to know his wife's place. And you say, well, you're getting on the wives later, what her place is. I am. But the husband needs to understand that too. The husband needs to understand what her responsibility, what her place, what she's best suited for, what God created her for, what God puts you together for. The husband needs to know that and understand that and know what is his responsibility and hers. We've gone over all this time, the husband's responsibility. But husband, if you're going to be a husband, you ought to be, you need to know, understand hers as well. And do not put her in situations that takes her out of her place. Husband wants to get mad because they feel like the wife is not doing what she's supposed to do. But sometimes she has to do things she's not supposed to be doing because he won't do it. And so he needs to understand those things. He needs to understand her place, what she's suited for. The Bible does not say that a man's wife is a helpmate. A helpmate. There's a lot of people that misquote that sometimes. She's not supposed to help him do what he's supposed to do. She's supposed to help him be a helpmeet. God made her meet for him. That means fit for him, fit right, suited. Suited to her husband. A true wife will always be a help to her husband. She's a helpmeet. She will always give him more than he gives her. If he gives her a house, she will return to him a home. If he gives her groceries, she'll return to him a hot meal. Amen. All these things. It goes on and on and on. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. And this is a segue into dealing with the ladies here soon, but the husband needs to understand these things. 1 Timothy 5:14 summed up in one verse is God's will for women. All right, 1 Timothy 5:14. The Bible says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Summed up in one short verse is God's will for women. It describes her place. It describes what she's best suited for. And men oftentimes have trouble discerning God's will for them, but for the ladies, it shouldn't be hard to discern what God's will is. It's spelled out right here, exactly what God's will is for them. Her purpose, the reason God created her, is unmistakable. She was created to marry, to bear children, to guide her home, to be a helpmeet. That's why Eve was created for Adam. Whenever they're taken outside of the realm of the home and marriage, in a lot of cases, things go badly because that's not where she was meant to be. It's not where she was meant to have to bear the burdens of a man. And I know that, you know, the women running for president and all that wouldn't want to hear any of these things, but that was not where they were meant to be. That's not where God created or designed for it to be. And so you got young girls today that says that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary. Well, young women today, as soon as they come out of school, they're told they have to go to college and they have to get a degree and they got to get a job and they got to do all these things. And then later on in life, they don't have the fulfillment we talked about with the men last week. A man is fulfilled. His fulfillment comes from work and taking care of his family. A woman's fulfillment comes from taking care of her husband and her home. That's where her fulfillment comes from. But when she has to go outside of the realm of that, then she's leaving her place and she's not able to do what God has designed her to do. The wife is to guide the house. That's where she gets her fulfillment. I've said this before when we first started, but when it comes to the house, as much as possible, you know, the woman needs to be able to do what she wants to do. If there's a certain color she wants it, if there's a certain way she wants it, you know, do the best you can to make it happen for her. That is the place that's where she gets her fulfillment. That's where she wants to have everything nice and she wants to do it this way and she like it to be this color. And you say, why does she get so worked up over that? We don't, because that is how God made her. She likes those things. Amen. I mean, no man likes sleeping under flowery, you know, floral color blankets and pillows in a bedroom. Amen. When I lived by myself, it was blue and black. That's what the house, I mean, that's what all, just give me a blanket. But there, I mean, is she listening in there? No. I don't know why we got to have 20 pillows on the bed when we throw them off every night when we go to bed and then put them back on. Whoa, there's some people looking around. But that is what she likes. And that's her house. Amen. And guess what? If she wanted another pillow, I'd go find one. Amen. Wow, that's what she likes. And so understanding and not just getting frustrated and, you know, my wife, she never asks for something that we don't have. You know, we don't have the money for it. Or and she knows. She don't ever ask for nothing. Hardly ever. When she does, I try my best to get it for her. Amen. And so she should have the liberty to pick out curtains and, I mean, do whatever, you know, needs to be done in the house within reason. I'm going to get on the women later and talk about restraint, but not tonight. So if you want something, you got till next Wednesday to start asking. All right. And so when it comes to grocery shopping and cooking, I had a man tell me before I got married, he said, hey, I've got some words of wisdom for you. He said, I've been married for almost 40 years now, and I've only ever been grocery shopping 2 times. He said, then we'll tell you how to do it. He said, the first time she asks you to go, get nothing right. That was his present to me before I got married. So, and it's been working for about 14 years. So I'm just joking. It's her job to guide the house, though. And so we need to provide and meet those needs. And, you know, it wouldn't hurt husband. And I know this is one of our biggest problems is paying attention. I know that. Again, I'm preaching to the choir. But if you walk in the house and something's different, say, honey, that looks nice. Even if you don't care and don't think it does, just pay attention to it. We're talking about meeting her. I probably should have had this without the women in here. But just pay attention to it and say, you know, hey, I noticed you moved the chair over on the other side again. But don't put the again in. Just keep that up here. Just say, you know, hey, I noticed you did that. That looks nice. Amen. Go home and, you know, dinner's fixed or whatever. I mean, just pay attention to things. And that's what she needs. That's what she needs from you. Her whole thing, no matter if she works a job or not, whatever it is for her husband to appreciate and say, and just recognize her. Listen to her and just say, hey, you know, I appreciate what you've done. I've seen what you've done and thank you for it. And that's all she needs. Again, the husband, it's a lot different for him. And most of the time, she knows what she needs to do. Amen. I'm trying to be plain without being too plain. They're not even paying attention anyway. But with a woman, it's different. It's different. So I had a older preacher tell me one time. He actually used to preach it all the time. He said a man is a lot like a light switch. You just flip it up. He said, but a woman is like the phases of the moon. You got to start real early in the morning and work all day long. Amen. And I'm not going into any detail, but you understand what I'm saying. We're teaching on the home. And it's just different. And so a man needs to understand that. He needs to rule his house. She's to guide the house. That's what the Bible says. He's to rule the house. She's to guide the house. All right, look at 1 Peter 3:7. We started here. Let's finish here. All right. 1 Peter 3:7. We'll be finished. All right. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. That's what we've been talking about this whole time. Dwelling with them according to knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs, what? Together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The husband who knows his Bible will know how to dwell with his wife according to knowledge. Not worldly knowledge, biblical knowledge. He'll know how to deal with her according to knowledge. How many Christian couples today are practicing biblical doctrine in their homes? I'm sad to say it's probably very few, but we ought to. And we have young couples in here. We've got some that have been married a long time, some of them that Moses married. But no matter where we're at in marriage, we can't ever get away from the Bible. How many times have we heard of couples that have been married a long, long time getting a divorce? I mean, some that their kids are grown, they're gone, they're, you know, going through. And I realize that happens and things happen. And it takes two parties. And we study before about the thing of divorce. And one or both of the parties have hardened their heart and refused to obey God. And you know, that's how, and those things happen. We understand that. But man, it seems like the day that we're living in, young couples are starting off on the wrong foot. They're starting off with the baby before they are the marriage. and it's just doomed the rest of the way through. We got to get back to the Bible. It doesn't matter where we're at and what phase of marriage. We've got some that are, you know, just been married a little time, all the way up to how long have y'all been married? 49 years? 49 years. Praise the Lord. Amen. We've got all ranges. We got some in the middle. We got some that are married 36 years, or it'll be 36 this year. I've been married for 14 years this year. We got some in all different ranges. And guess what? Every one of us, if we're going to make it, it's going to be because of God and the Bible. Amen. And some might not. I don't know. That's between y'all and the Lord. So I'm praying that God will strengthen our homes, especially with those with young children. We need to get it because we need to teach it to them. And they need to know so they can get started off on the right foot. Amen. Brother Hunter said it the other day. Were you preaching? Yeah, you're preaching at the nursing home. It takes three generations. It's all through the Bible. What he said, that is all through the Bible. Three generations. Eventually, you got somebody that doesn't even know God. You say, well, that's hard to believe with my children. Well, it could happen. It could happen. Or they don't even, and man, that would be sad, wouldn't it? So, all right. God's blueprint for home builders. Next time we get back on this subject, we'll be starting to look at the wives. All right. All right, let's all stand. Let's pray. Brother Heitz, would you pray, brother?